Today on More to Life, the joyful parent. Parenting is hard work, but it doesn't have to wear you out. Kid problems got you down? Let us help you find grace-filled ways to rediscover the joy of parenting. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled The Joyful Parent, as we talk about the fact that parenting is hard, but it doesn't have to wear us down, even though it often can. We want to help you find grace-filled ways to feel more confident, more effective, and rediscover the joy of parenting. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Call up and share. Kids misbehaving? Feeling a little overwhelmed? Would you like to help your kids get along better? Or is stress from the start of the school year wearing you out? Maybe you're wondering how to create a more peaceful, enjoyable family life, a more meaningful family faith life, or just raise godly kids in an increasingly godless world. Whether you've got toddler tantrums, struggles with your school-age kids, teens who are talking back and pushing back against your rules or beliefs, or adult kids you're worried about, let us help you reclaim the joy of parenting.
For a lot of people, they're going, when did that joy start? You know, sometimes it's when, you know, the test comes back positive. You're like, we're going to have a baby! And you're joyful, and then, you know, the pregnancy nausea kicks in, and the stress and the fear kicks in. Sometimes it's that moment they're placed in your arms, and you think, oh, everything's right with the world now. I just want to make everything perfect for this child. And then reality kicks in. And then after that, you're thinking, where's the joy? Is it only when we're on vacation? We as parents have so much on our shoulders, making sure that these children are happy and healthy, and yes, even holy, can drain us, especially as you were saying, Greg, when they start pushing back, when the tantrums come, when the disagreements happen, when they're actually using negativity just to suck you in. And by the end of the day, you're exhausted, and the only times you're feeling that sense of peace or joy is when you go to check in on them and they're asleep, and there they are, your little angels. Why can't they be that way during the day? You want to feel that way. You want to be the best parent you can be, and you want to feel good about it in the process. We're here to help you with all those questions today, big or small. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Again, parenting is hard work, and it can wear us out, but we can help you reclaim that joy, feel more confident and effective in your role as a parent and in your attempts to raise good, godly kids. Let us help today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering, well, how can some highfalutin theological concept help me deal with parenting stuff? Well, I'm glad you asked the question, because what this is really about is that St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked the question, it was kind of a big question, really, you know, if we looked at everything God's given us, you know, creation, salvation, history, scripture, all of it, what principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And this reflection especially applies to family life.
You know, one of the most important things that St. John Paul II tells us in his Theology of the Body is that our whole mission in life is about creating what he called communities of love. And parents play an especially important part in that mission.
Well, that's right, because the family, St. John Paul said, was the kind of original and foundational community of love. And you know, parents, we often get caught up in endless details, right? Mm-hmm. School schedules, chores, practices, screen time, meals. It can feel like parenthood is just kind of much ado about nothing, just be constantly busy with stuff. But from a theology of the body lens, these things and other parts of parenting aren't trivial. You know, they're opportunities to heal the damage that sin tries to do to our relationships by building a stronger family life rooted in love.
We have to remember that that's the heart of it. If you're a parent, there's really no more important ministry than creating a warm, loving domestic church. It's not just about keeping kids busy so they don't get in trouble or checking off to-do lists all day long. It's about raising the next generation to know how to love the Lord and live their Catholic faith out loud in everything they do.
Well, right. And it's not just about our kids' relationship with God, but honestly, it's about their relationship with each other, mm-hmm. too. You know, we came across two studies recently. First, one that showed that 90% of kids raised in Catholic homes don't remain Catholic as adults. But another study, which is just as disturbing to me, frankly, it was that it found that most adult siblings stop talking to each other once their parents pass away. And so that means that our mission as Catholic parents is really clear. We need to parent toward creating strong, loving connection with God, between us and our kids, and with the kids, with each other.
Yeah, that feels like a massively tall order. And when we think about it, we know that joy is a direct result of the close connection we feel with the people around us. Reclaiming the joy of parenting starts with refusing to see it as a chore or a project. Instead, focus on building closeness and connection each day.
And, you know, we'll be unpacking some practical ideas for making that happen throughout the program. But for now, you know, when parents just focus on the idea of building communities of love as our main focus instead of just pushing through the day, confidence and joy follow naturally because we know that we're doing the most important work that God's given us. We're talking about parenting today on More to Life. Specifically, the show is titled The Joyful Parent, as we talk about the fact that parenting is hard work, but it doesn't have to wear us out. And if you're feeling like you need a shot in the arm of some confidence, some new tools or insights, some assistance in creating the family life that you're looking for, or helping your kids get over that problem that's getting under your skin, we're here to help. 877-573-7825.
And there's no way around it. The studies that Greg just talked about make the weight of parenting seem, well, even weightier. It's hard to keep all these balls in the air. It's hard to know what to do. And it's hard to heal relationships that may be damaged throughout a given day, throughout the years, especially when you start thinking about wanting your kids to be in contact with each other and love each other, even after you're gone. Well, they might be close to you. What do you do to keep them close to each other from the beginning all the way through life? It's a lot. But let's take it one step at a time. What's stealing your joy today as a parent? What do you need to talk about to get your family a little bit closer to each other and to God? Give us a call today. We'll help you figure it out on More to Life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
All right. Well, let's take our concerns to the Lord. Then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of
the
Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord, we come to you and we thank you for the gift of children. And but we ask you for help in those days when we're feeling a little burned out, a little overwhelmed, a little frustrated with the kids, lacking in that confidence in our own role or our ability to raise kids to love you and serve you. Help us in those days to parent with you. And to know that you want to parent with us. Help us to bring those concerns to you. Help us to make sure that we're bringing our kids to you every day. And help us, Lord, to be able to create those communities of love in our homes that your servant St. John Paul reminded us is our mission as Catholic parents. Help us to feel your love for us. And then to communicate that love to our children so that they can see your love for them reflected in our eyes. And help us to focus on building relationship with our kids and in our homes, instead of just checking off all the to-do lists, so that we can reclaim the joy that comes from being in relationship with you and with the people we love the most. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled The Joyful Parent. You know, we recognize that parenting is hard work, but it doesn't have to wear us out. And if you're feeling a little overwhelmed, frustrated, kind of fed up, and confused even about how to help your kids overcome a particular challenge, or you know, create the kind of family life you're looking for, or meaningful faith family life you're looking for, we're here for you. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk to our first caller of the day, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network.
Listener, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, good morning. So my question is more about, you know, I have a 20-month-old, and after becoming a parent, I suddenly have this huge fear of death. And I think it's hindering my happiness, especially in these early months of, well, you know, a year and a half now of, like, having a baby. Because I'm just so scared of, like, something happens to the baby or if something happens to me or my husband. Like, how can I overcome that fear? Because I was never scared of it until becoming a parent.
Sure. Let's talk about this for a second. So this could be, you know, a reaction to the huge responsibilities of parenthood. But are you having any other situations going on? Because that kind of fear and anxiety can often come with postpartum depression. Did you have any history? You were saying you'd never had anxiety before. But was there anything else that you ever struggled with? Or did this come on with the birth of the baby and there are other things going on? Sadness, depression, anything like that, just to see where you're at with all of this.
Yeah, so anxiety is definitely one thing that postpartum I definitely experienced. I also had an uncle that was a deacon that passed away from, you know, cancer, and I like it just changed my perspective. And I know I shouldn't think like this, but I thought if he loved God so much, like, why did God take him? And I love God so much, so I guess, like, you know, these fears come to mind. And I know I shouldn't think like that. But, yeah, the fears do cross my mind.
So let me ask, and this is going to be sort of a scary question, but I just want you to sit with it for a second. And, you know, so if you imagine for a minute, you know, that something would happen, like that you're afraid of, what would that mean to you? Obviously that would be devastating, but specifically what goes through your head when you think about it?
It's being away from my husband and my child that scare me. Like, and I know, like, I've grown up in the faith,
being away from them, what does that mean, being away,
like,
from them?
If I die or if, like, they die, like, just not being together.
So there's an anxiety about creating the kind of connection that you want?
I guess, like, I just wish that sometimes God can guarantee us, like, 50 years with my child. And then, so that's my fear of, like, not seeing my child grow up.
And I'm just, there are several possible ways that we could go with this. That's why I'm just, so did you experience any kind of loss growing up?
Other than the death of your uncle?
No, it was suddenly my uncle, you know, got cancer and passed, and then, like, this fear just came across my mind.
Okay. Well, and when you say you shouldn't think that way, how do you think you should think? I'm just curious.
I really think I should be enjoying the moments. Like, I do enjoy the moments, but I really shouldn't, you know, dwell so much on one day I'm not going to be with my family or with my
son. Okay, so here's what I'm hearing you say. You're afraid to really surrender to the joy of being in the relationship with your baby because you're afraid it's all going to go away.
Yes.
If you really let yourself relax and enjoy this, it could all be taken away from you.
And that would hurt so badly that you're almost afraid to think about it going well.
And it's coming out with this sort of death anxiety. But I guess I'm wondering, have you, if we took it off of death for just a second here and just focused on, have you had that sense that things have been taken away from you before in your life?
I haven't. Thank God I've been blessed.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fine. I just want to make sure that I'm not missing something historically. So, you know, I'm going to offer a couple of suggestions here and then some ways to follow up on this, because I think that this might be something that is important to check with your physician to make sure that there, you know, that there aren't any hormonal issues that you want to look at, but also possibly get an evaluation for some counseling. But you know, when it comes down to this, that's what's happening. Okay. So the devil, in a sense, is whispering in your spiritual ear, don't enjoy this gift because it could all go away.
Because your gift is so tremendous, right? You have co-created a human being with God. You are continuing to co-create with God this amazing person, this family life that you have with him. And Satan wants to just undermine that with thoughts that are going to steal your joy or your real ability to dive deeply into it.
So what I want you to do is actually get a notebook, and I want you to I don't want you to tell yourself that you shouldn't think those things, right? I want you to recognize that there's a part of you that is susceptible to the suggestions from the enemy, that she's afraid of something and she's trying to protect you or work something out for you, all right? And so don't see that part as the enemy. See that part as a part of you that's trying to tell you something. And then I want you, you know, there's another part of you, though, that's calling us today, for example, that knows that's not an entirely healthy or true way to think. Right?
I don't like how it feels, and so you don't like that it's robbing your joy.
I want you to imagine those are two different parts of you. So you're going to have the part that's more confident and the part that wants to get past this anxiety, and then you're going to have the part of you that feels this anxiety. And I want you to write a dialogue back and forth between those two in a notebook. Maybe you start with the anxious part that says, you know, this could all be taken away. Why did God take my uncle? You know, I love God too. Does that mean he'll take me? And then I want you to write back to that voice, in the voice that of the person who's calling us now, who knows that's not the best way to think about something, that who wants to help that other part feel better. And then I want you to respond to that part as this healthier, stronger, more confident person, and go back and forth with the dialogue. But the goal of the dialogue is to not to talk the other part out of its concerns so much as it is to help that other part, learn what concerns that part might have, practical concerns, but also help that part come to a more comfortable and confident place. I actually talk about this exercise in more detail than I have time to get into on the air in my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. That could be a good resource for you in continuing to fight this. But I would also like you to follow up both with a consultation with your physician to rule out possible hormonal issues here, and also reaching out to a counselor that you trust either locally or contacting us through CatholicCounselors.com, just to learn some basic techniques to be able to get past this so that you can surrender to that joy. Because that's what's happening. The enemy is trying to keep you from really celebrating the gift that you've been given. But it's not as easy as just pushing through it and saying, I shouldn't think these things. It's a matter of really being able to work with that part of you that is concerned so that you can attend to her concerns in ways that help that part of you feel heard, but then also meeting those needs in a healthier way that allows you to enjoy the gift that you've been given. I want to thank you for your call. We've added you to our More to Life prayer list. Again, the book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. If you'd like more personalized support in finding faith-filled ways to get through this, I really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, because we can really help with this. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. The show today is titled The Joyful Parent. You know, parenting is hard work, but it doesn't have to wear us out. So if you're dealing with some kid problems or, you know, things that are undermining your confidence as a Catholic mom or dad, or just, you know, wondering how to have a more peaceful, joyful, loving, faith-filled family life, we are here for you. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. In addition to taking your calls, when we come back, we're going to be talking with Rachel Isaac, a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She also directs our program in performance excellence. We'll talk more about that and some suggestions that she has on rediscovering the joy of parenting when we return after this.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled The Joyful Parent. You know, that might sound like a contradiction, right? Parenting is hard work, but you know, it doesn't have to wear us out. And if parenting problems are getting you down, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to rediscover the joy of parenting. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She specializes in the psychology of success and directs the Catholic Counselors program in performance excellence, where she works with Catholic athletes, performers, executives, and other folks who have to be their best under pressure, like parents. Hey, Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks for having me.
So how can parents find more clarity when we're trying to navigate the difficulties we're having with our kids?
Well, when our kids are struggling, or when we're struggling with our kids, you know, or when family conflict flares up, it's natural for our attention to really zero in on what's wrong. You know, we want to correct, fix, redirect. But what we focus on grows. So I like to kind of think about it as driving a car. You know, if you stare at the ditch on the side of the road, your car will start drifting that way. The same is true in parenting, or really anything else for that matter. When all of our energy is spent pointing out flaws, mistakes, or problems, our kids begin to see themselves through that lens. They steer toward the very thing that we don't want for them. But when we acknowledge the good, when we call out their strengths, appreciate their efforts, and notice the times they do make a wise or kind choice, we give them something life-giving to steer towards. We're watering the seeds of the person that they are and the person they're becoming. And this doesn't mean, of course, like ignoring struggles. Correction is still important, but it works best when it's paired with recognition. Something like, you know, I see how hard you tried, or you were really patient with your sister just now, or you're really creative in how you solved that problem. Those words are fuel. They strengthen resilience. They reinforce their identity, and they help kids build the skills that they need to do good things again and again. As parents, we really have a powerful choice to spend more time looking at the ditch or to focus on the road ahead. So if we keep our eyes fixed on where we want our children and our families to go, it really helps us approach our kids with love, with encouragement, and with grace. And they'll learn to follow our gaze, and we will also be happier and more peaceful parents as well.
Yeah, you know, I think that you're hitting on something that's so important. And of course, we don't just tell them the wonderful things we see about them. We point out the things that are positive, that are virtuous especially. I think it's really good to really ground the children in things like, you were so patient, you were so kind, you were so, fill in those great virtues, because that they have to build on forever. You know, it's what we're called to. But then say, and because of that, I know that you can do X, Y, and Z in this different way that I'm asking you to do it, rather than in this way that you're struggling with. So you're letting them know that you see the qualities, that these virtues exist in them, but then you're teaching them, not just telling them, but teaching them what you want them to do differently, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's helping them build the skills, and it's helping them acknowledge that, you know, they have those skills, they have those strengths, and they absolutely, you're helping to foster those. I think one thing that's really important here, though, too, is that it's our natural instinct, whether it's with our kids, our spouse, or anybody else, to kind of feel fearful of pointing out the good or acknowledging those strengths, because our internal dialogue says, well, if I acknowledge this good thing, they're going to think everything's fine and they're not going to work on this thing that I want them to work on. And while that's fair and understandable, again, it's what we look at, what we highlight is usually that direction that we go in. So if I'm constantly nitpicking, constantly, you know, correcting, again, like, we're, it's just going to fuel that fire, so to speak. So if we can correct and guide and say, hey, that was good, let's move towards that, we have a lot more focus and a lot more empowerment rather than that powerlessness.
Rachel, thanks for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to go to CatholicCounselors.com to discover more, especially about our program in performance excellence, but also our pastoral counseling services, CatholicCounselors.com. We're taking your calls right now about parenting, 877-573-7825. Let us help you rediscover the joy of parenting after this.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle, yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
The Word became flesh to redeem us from our sinful state, the Catechism tells us, and reconcile us to God. We lived in darkness and needed a great light. We were prisoners and we needed to be freed. In such a miserable state, we needed a divine human mediator to descend from heaven. Through Jesus' suffering and death, we learned how much God loved us. For divinity to descend to humanity, and humanity in the poorest circumstances, demanded great love and great sacrifice and great humility. It also gave us a great role model whom we could and should imitate on our life's journey. Jesus is the embodiment of the Beatitudes and the norm of the new law. He commanded us to love one another as I have loved you. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Take a moment to measure your stress level right now on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 or 2 means you're completely relaxed. 5 means you've got some concerns, but you're mostly feeling good. At 8, you're getting angry. And at 10, you're feeling and acting outraged. This little exercise is something happily married couples regularly do. They monitor their emotional temperature so they can take steps to lower it before it gets too high. You see, when your temperature gets higher than a 7, cortisol and adrenaline flood your body, shutting down the rational problem-solving part of your brain. And when that happens, your response is likely to make the situation worse, not better. Happily married couples recognize this and take responsibility for regulating their own emotional temperature. They don't blame their spouse for their poor reaction. They realize they're the only one who can control that. If you struggle with regulating your emotional temperature, take heart in the fact that police officers, firefighters, and others have learned to control their response in really stressful situations, and you can too. To learn how, check out our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Or, if you want more personalized, faith-filled help, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today our show is titled The Joyful Parent, as we talk about the fact that, yes, parenting is hard work, but it doesn't have to grind us down, as it often does when we focus more on the to-do list and see parenting as a project instead of really seeing it as a relationship that we're building with our kids. We want to talk about how to overcome those behavior problems that are getting under your skin, the family dynamics in the home that are making you wish you could have a more loving, connected, caring Catholic household, the challenges that are part of living out your faith at home and creating a meaningful family faith life, or any of the other issues that often come up that make parenting feel harder than it needs to be. Let us help you reconnect with the joy of parenting. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next caller, we just want to let you know that if you're listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network, your EWTN radio station needs to hear from you next week. The Guadalupe Radio Network will be airing their Fall Share-a-thon starting Monday.
That's right. So if you are listening in Texas, Kansas, New Mexico, Alabama, Florida, Virginia, Washington, D.C., or anywhere if you're picking up the signal, please support your local EWTN Catholic radio station. Certainly with your prayers, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN radio on the air for decades to come so we can keep supporting you in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. And by the way, speaking of EWTN, this week on The World Over, Raymond Arroyo's special guest is Dr. Jordan Peterson. He's going to be talking about the power of biblical stories, today's toxic cultural environment, and his latest book, We Who Wrestle with God. The World Over with Raymond Arroyo, tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN TV and radio. Plus, you can get news from The World Over in your email box every week. Visit EWTN.com and click on subscribe. So check that out. Some good stuff coming up. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
We have a message here, Greg, from Becca, who is listening to EWTN Radio on the Guadalupe Radio Network in Virginia. And she says, my kids have been back to school for a couple of weeks now. I have an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old, and they melt down after school and can't even do the simplest things. I don't understand, because the teachers are saying they're both doing great in school, but at home, it's so overwhelming. What am I doing wrong? Do they just hate me? And what can I do? And that's Becca listening in Virginia.
Becca, I'm sorry to struggle. I mean, we've all been in that place where you feel like, do my kids hate me?
Yes, I mean,
that was not a funny laugh. It was a laugh of recognition. And, you know, no, they don't hate you. School is hard, right? And they get burned out. And by the end of the day, they need a little kind of pick-me-up first before they can move on to the other stuff that you might want them to do.
Yeah, they've been holding it in all day long, right? They've been working at a very high elevation rate of their emotional temperature. They may not look like it on the outside because they're trying to do everything right. They're just, they're holding their personalities together. They're constantly scanning for what's the emotional temperature of the person sitting next to me, the person across the room. How can I do my work right? How can I please the teacher? What's coming next? Especially in these first few weeks of school. You say they've been back for a couple of weeks. Nothing feels normal yet. It'll get there when they do the same thing hour after hour, day after day. But when they come home and they are in their safe space with their safe mom, who they know loves them, that's when they just fall apart. It's not that they hate you, it's that they trust you and they trust your love for them. So they just, you know, have you ever had that time, you've even when you were single, right? You come home from work, you throw your briefcase down, you throw your shoes on the floor, and you're just like, oh, all I want to do is sit, or all I want to do is watch TV, or just scroll my phone, because I'm exhausted. Well, this is at a kid level, where they don't have any coping mechanisms, and they just want to just let it all go, and they trust you. But there are lots of things that you can do to help them reintegrate back in the house. So don't ever be like, okay, let's go, you know, put your stuff away, clean out your backpacks, and let's get homework going. You want to lean into that trust that they have for you. So you want to give them a chance to, you know, go to the bathroom, come back, have a healthy snack ready for them. Maybe, you know, say, hey, after your snack, let's set a timer and just hang out for half an hour together on the couch. We can catch up on the day, or we can read a book together. But let's do something where we're just, you know, maybe we can go for a walk, but for at least a half an hour, and set a timer so it doesn't go on forever and you don't have the tyranny of, I have to get dinner ready, I have to get the homework done, over your head. But give them that chance to reconnect with you, not by asking a million questions about their day, but by being there, letting them feel safe, letting them decompress a bit. You'll see that once they start to have their emotional temperature come down, they'll be less likely to be losing it all over the place and taking it out on you.
Yeah, so this is what we'll call a collection ritual, right? It's a way when the family has been apart from each other, we need to create a kind of a ritual that allows us to reconnect and resync with each other. One of the things that you want to do as part of that ritual that Lisa's describing is make sure you're going over what needs to be done in the evening. Not as the first thing, but as, you know, after
you've collected. Sort of as you're wrapping up from the collection. Guys, this is so lovely. I know we've got a lot to do. Let's go over it together so we each know what we're doing and when, and nobody feels overwhelmed by it.
And you make a plan for that. And honestly, I mean, this is broadening out a little bit, but well, two things I would say. First of all, for listeners who, you know, maybe aren't home when their kids first get out of school, maybe they go to childcare for a while or whatever, you want to do the same thing in that
situation.
Absolutely.
It's about regathering. Right. Doesn't matter when it's happening.
Right. And this also is good for couples to practice. Like, you know, a lot of times, you know, husbands and wives might be working, you know, in one way or another. And, you know, they have certain expectations in their own head about how the evening's going to go. And then you get home and you start fighting about it because your expectations clash. You know, one of the things I always recommend to couples before they come back from whatever work they've been doing all day and actually spend time with each other, to check in with each other with a phone call or a text that says, hey, what are your hopes for the evening, or what are your expectations for tonight? What do we need to kind of coordinate here so that we both can get on the same page before we see each other? And this is sort of the same idea. You're creating a space for the kids to kind of come home, decompress, reconnect, and then you can all plan together to figure out how to move forward in the best way possible.
But that reconnection first feels very weird when you start doing it, because you've been on a trajectory all day of getting things done. They have, you have, you know you've got stuff you've got done in the evening. But when you take that pause and you give them a safe place to just breathe and yourself a chance to reintegrate with them, you'll see that things begin to run more easily.
Just a little side note, don't do this in the car on the way home.
Oh, no, that's not reconnection.
No, not at all. But a lot of parents think, well, you know, we caught up in the car. I asked them how their day was. I told them I loved them. We talked about what was going to happen. That's not what we're talking about. This has to, we have to kind of create that space.
At home. Making home that community of love where they can feel safe and calm down. The one thing I will say is that the snack time part, you can probably do that in the car. Have something healthy, not sugar filled, but something, cheeses, a sandwich. You know, don't worry about it wrecking their dinner. So they'll have a smaller dinner of whatever it was you made. They've already eaten something filled with protein. But our kids are so bottomed out nutritionally at the end of the day. And you're thinking, well, I packed their lunch or they had lunch at school. When you're that ramped up, you don't really ingest that much food, especially if it's something that you don't really like.
Or you burn through it either way.
Either way. Yeah, because they're at such a high stress level all day long, especially the beginning of school, but all year, they're burning calories like crazy. So if you want to have, you know, a bag packed with healthy snacks that they can have to eat on the way home and then just have that regathering time together, you'll see that everything goes more smoothly over time. It's going to take a while for you guys to get used to it, for them to trust it, for you to trust yourself when you're doubting yourself so much right now. But it will be a huge step forward in becoming who you want to be with as a family.
Becca, thanks for the question. And, of course, we would encourage you and all of other listeners who are tuning in to get daily support for questions like this on the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic H-O-M. It stands for Catholic Households on Mission. You know, Catholic Home isn't just another parenting resource. It's really a game changer for Catholic families. It's based on research that we sponsored through Georgetown University that looked at Catholic families who successfully raised all of their kids to be faithful Catholic adults and who enjoyed uncommonly happy, loving, connected family lives. With Catholic Home, you don't just get resources. You get a ton of creative resources. I'll tell you a bit more about that in a minute. But the main thing is you get expert parent coaching from Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches at CatholicCounselors.com. It's not counseling, but it is daily support to help you stay on the right path with your kids and feel confident in your role as a parent. You know, you can not just chat with Lisa and me and our whole team, but you can get great resources like monthly downloadable activities that make living the faith at home simple and fun. Tune in to our exclusive podcasts, Momfidence, Bedatitudes, and Catholic Home. Get parenting tip videos, monthly live stream events, a professionally animated cartoon series to get your whole family on board with creating that more loving, caring, connected home life. Check it out. We'd love to support you on your journey. You can get 2 months free when you choose an annual plan for just $149, or you can go month to month for $14.95. Either way, one subscription covers both parents and gives your whole family access to all the activities and coaching available on the Catholic Home app. So check it out. Subscribe today wherever you get your apps and become part of the Catholic Home community. That's Catholic H-O-M, Households on Mission. Hope to see you there, where we can continue this conversation with Becca and with all of you listeners who also have questions about parenting, not just today, but every day. With that, we're taking your calls now at 877-573-7825. We're talking about the joyful parent today on More to Life. And as we head out to our break, it's time for the scripture of the day, which comes to us from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13.
Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And over all these, put on love. That is the bond of perfection.
This is kind of a mission statement for Catholic families, to the qualities that we want to be cultivating in our home. So it's not just trying to put out the fire of the moment, but really what Rachel Isaac was talking about, you know, keeping in mind, what is our vision for this situation and for our family in general, and how do we keep parenting toward that?
Well, and it works so much with what we were just saying to Becca, right? You're making your home when your children, when your people come back into it, a place of heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and love, where we can regather and say, yeah, it can be hard. Things can be difficult. We're all having challenges. But here in this space, we're going to listen to each other. We're going to connect with each other. We're going to learn with each other to have, you know, a better way of living together. And putting on love over all of it, step by step, allows us to become who God wants each of us to be and wants our family to become.
All right, when we come back, more with your calls about parenting today on our show titled The Joyful Parent. You know, parenting is hard work, but it doesn't have to grind us down. And if kid problems have got you down, we're going to help you find grace-filled ways to rediscover the joy of parenting. Give us a call. You know, are you dealing with your kids misbehaving? Feeling overwhelmed as a parent? Maybe you'd like to help your kids get along better with each other. Maybe you're dealing with the stress from the start of the school year and it's wearing you out, or you're wondering how to create a more peaceful, enjoyable family life, or a more meaningful family faith life, or just raise godly kids in an increasingly godless world. Whether you've got toddler tantrums that are getting on your nerves, struggles with your school-age kids, teens who are talking back or pushing back against your rules or beliefs, or adult kids you're worried about, let us help you reclaim the joy of parenting. 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back with your calls coming up right after the break.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope at seeing the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Concentration camp survivor Elie Wiesel once said, "To forget murder victims is to kill them twice." 65 million unborn children have been killed by abortion. A small fraction of these victims are buried in human cemeteries. Let us honor them at the graves and memorial markers Saturday, September 13th, the National Day of Remembrance. See all locations and times at nationaldayofremembrance.org. That's nationaldayofremembrance.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled The Joyful Parent. You know, the fact is, parenting is hard work, but it doesn't have to grind us down. In fact, the primary reason that we do feel burned out by parenting is because we're not parenting so much as we are checking off to-do lists and doing all the things. Parenting is really about the relationship that we cultivate with our kids and the ways we teach our kids to get along with us and their siblings and, of course, ultimately, God and the rest of the world. And there are challenges with that, too. But the more we're able to focus on relationship building, the more we're able to experience the joy that comes from being in relationship with our kids. 877-573-7825. We had a question from Jan, who's listening in Louisiana on Community Catholic Radio. She was asking about her 11-year-old daughter. She says that my daughter struggles with logic, and I'm having trouble disciplining her compared to my other kids. Well, Jan, thank you for the question. So I think the problem is, where you're saying that she struggles with logic. Yes. I mean, that's the 11-year-old's job description. And when parents try to, quote-unquote, logic their kids into things, that means you're talking too much. And you're your directives are getting lost in all the noise. Every once in a while, you know, they still air the Charlie Brown specials for, you know, different holidays.
Like around Christmas, or, you know, Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown.
And you know, you'll see scenes where the Peanuts kids are in the classroom, for example.
Or listening to parents.
And the teacher, the adult off camera is going, wah, 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 wah. Well, that's exactly what trying to logic an 11-year-old sounds like to an 11-year-old. What you need to make sure that you're doing is that you're not just issuing directives as you walk through the room. You know, hey, make sure you clean your room, and then you like disappear. We all do that, but we set ourselves up for failure when we do that. The first thing you need to do in giving a child a direction is to collect them. You bring them to you, or you go to them and say, hey, what are you doing? And you just check in with them, right? Little affection. This is not an hour long thing. This is like 15 seconds. You're checking in. You're giving them a little affection, a little side hug, a little tossle of the hair, whatever. And you say, hey, what are you doing? Okay, well, I'm going to need you to start wrapping that up and go do this, you know, either now or in 5 minutes or whatever it is. Then the next step is you actually need to lead them to the thing. Like, if you haven't seen them start doing the thing you asked them to do, you need to assume it's not happening. So if you give them 5 minutes, you come back in 5 minutes and you say, okay, time to wrap that up and let's go over here. And then you take them to that thing.
Now, I will say it's good to set a timer so that they have that ding to remind them to stop, you know, completely wrap up what they're doing and go to the next thing. By the way, don't make it an arbitrary, you know, 5 minutes. Ask them, how long do you need to wrap this up? Okay. You set the timer. Have them set the timer for that time. Put it on a shelf where they can't keep fixing it, you know, for later. And then when it goes off, give them a couple of beats to actually wrap it up and go do the thing. Don't go charging in and saying, come on, and grab them by the hand. You're not doing that.
But do go back to make sure that it's happening.
Yeah, you're reminding them. You're saying, okay, let's go. We talked about you needing to clean your room. Let's go take a look at it so we can go over together what you're supposed to do. Have them look at the room. Say, what's out of place here? You know, name the things so that you know that they're engaging in what they're going to be doing.
Yeah, the thing is, kids don't just naturally fall into behaving. They need to be taught how to do that. Because to behave means that I know how to self-regulate enough to get over the frustration I feel when I have to stop doing the thing I want to do and do the thing that I've been asked to do.
And then additionally, I have all the skills to do what I've been asked to do, which many parents have never taught. They think the kids just pick it up because they've lived in the house with the parents for so long.
So I want you to logic less, talk less, right? And create a structure that makes sure that your daughter follows through with whatever it is that you're asking her to do. I'll throw this out as a public service announcement for parents of younger children. Speaking of kind of teaching kids to obey, the toddler years are a critical time for this, too. Mm-hmm. And I know Jan's talking about her 11-year-old, but just to put this out there, I was talking with somebody earlier today, and they were saying, you know, well, I've got this 2-year-old, you know, and she, you know, won't stay in her high chair, and so I'll say, you know, well, do you need me to buckle you into your high chair, because she hates to be buckled in apparently, or can you stay in your chair, and that has been enough to kind of prompt her to stay in the chair. And he was asking me, is that an okay thing to do? And I said, yeah, absolutely. And in fact, you know, if you have to tell her more than twice, then you just buckle her
you
in
just
anyway.
Just buckle her in. You don't keep asking. Yeah.
Or they were saying, if I ask her to do something and she's like playing or whatever, then she kind of runs away or whatever. Again, the collection thing. You go to the 2-year-old and you say, hey, we're going to need to put away the toys. Come on, let's go. And you move them to the thing. You know, if she doesn't immediately get up and do it, you take her hand gently but firmly, put the toy in the hand, you walk her over to the shelf, put the toy over there. Okay, can you do the next one yourself, or do you need me to still help you? You're doing it gently, but you're firmly conveying the message that, for want of a better way to put it, resistance is futile.
And at the same time, you're teaching the skill that you want. So
right.
They're not just going, well, what am I supposed to do?
You're conveying the message that look, what mom or dad asks me to do is going to happen. So that when they become 4 or 5, you know, or 6 or older, they already learned that lesson in toddlerhood so that you don't... You know, so they understand. When mom and dad ask me to do something, they usually give me a little bit of time to figure it out for myself, and then they make it happen. And I would rather figure out how to make it happen myself rather than have them make it happen. So I'm going to choose that. But if you don't do that in toddlerhood, then you very often end up with a kid who really is just kind of running wild, you know, by 4 or 5. And you can get it back under, you know, with some, you know, consistent discipline like we're talking about here. But for those of you who are listening who do have younger toddlers, for example, that's the time to really start teaching the idea of obedience in a way that's both gentle but firm.
But to go back to Jan and her word of the use, logic, if you're sitting around saying to your child, you know, you need to keep a clean room because it gives you a clean brain and you'll do better in college, and they don't care. They don't know. Exactly. You don't want a logic. You want to teach and help and keep them on a pace using a timer, using collection, and teaching them what they're supposed to do.
Creating that structure that supports their success and helps keep you calm and in control.
Mm-hmm.
All right, with that, it's time to wrap up the program. But if you'd like more daily support in being that great, confident Catholic parent, become part of the Catholic HOM app. That's Households on Mission. Download it wherever you get your apps and subscribe today so that you can get the daily support and resources you need to build a more loving, caring, connected Catholic home. That's Catholic HOM for Households on Mission. Get your app today. Or if you'd like more personalized guidance, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with His grace, there really is so much more to life.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.